السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله الحمد لله وكفى والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا المصطفى صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. ألم يجدك يتيما فآوى ووجدك ضالا فهدى ووجدك عائلا فأغنى فأما اليتيم فلا تقهر وَأَمَّا السَّائِلَ فَلَا تَنْهَرْ وَأَمَّا بِنِعْمَةِ رَبِّكَ فَحَدِّثْ. صدق الله العظيم. علماء کرام, most respected brothers, we have been discussing Surah Ad-Duha over the past few weeks. I discussed already almost half of the surah, in which first of all Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala takes a qasam by the glorious shining light, by the brightness of the day, and then by the still and the calmness of the dark night. Just giving you an explanation that Allah Ta'ala takes that qasam. And what does Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala says? That neither is your Rabb displeased with you, neither has He forsaken you. Because that was the objection of the kuffar, that why has he been withheld. So Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala assures and guarantees Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that he is neither displeased with him, neither has he forsaken him. And Allah ta'ala has promised that he will give him soon so much that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam will become pleased with it. Now we go on to the section which we discussed very briefly last week. First thing was that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala is now giving certain proofs that why He has not forsaken you. Why you should not think that, or why should you be concerned or grieved that your Allah ta'ala has forsaken you. Because you haven't done anything that has displeased Him. So Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala is showing some of His ihsan and fazal upon Rasul-e-Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, so that he may feel guaranteed and assured that Allah Ta'ala is not displeased with him. So Allah Ta'ala says that did he not find you an orphan child, so he gave you shelter. So this is what I had discussed to some extent last week, that whenever we talk of an orphan child, then our mind goes to some orphanage wherein there are a few orphan children. Whereas in these days when deaths are on the increase, because of accidents, because of murders, because of shootings and killings, because of wars, everywhere there is an increase in deaths, and it is one of the signs of Qiyamah, which Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam mentioned, that towards the latter part, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala will cause an increase in the number of deaths. There will be large-scale massacres, large-scale deaths. And it has been attributed to what? Again, those same sins in which we indulge very, very openly. One of which is zina. That when zina will be on the increase, then there will be increase in the number of deaths in the society. Allah Ta'ala will create such conditions that there will be large-scale murders and killings and deaths. So we should always look at our actions and our deeds. Of course, the person who gets killed unjustly, then he will be a shaheed. We should not think that that person has suffered some serious problem, or he was indulging in great amount of sins and vices, therefore he became shaheed, or that is why he was murdered. It's not necessary. That person could be a great wali of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Recently in Karachi, great buzrugs were shot and killed. Those who had the greatest amount of love in my sight for Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in recent times, but they were driving out of the madrasa and somebody was shot. Hazrat Maulana Yusuf Ludhianvi became Rahmatullah Alayhi Shaheed. And so many others. So it is not necessary that the person who is killed, he was sinful. It is a way of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, a system of Allah ta'ala, that he wants to give somebody shahadat. So this is a form of shahadat. But the cause of large scale murders, killings and massacres, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam attributed to the increase in zina, which is a scourge of our society, which is so rampant. And many, many times I have mentioned that even those who claim to be pious, righteous, first of namazis, and ta'alluq with Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, so they will say very boldly, Alhamdulillah, we don't commit zina. But what they take for granted is that zina merely means the action of zina. But it is not only that which is referred to as zina. The zina of the eyes, which they will indulge to, watching on the television those women that are broadcasters and presenters, because they will say that we don't look at other things, we look at only the news. So who are the presenters of those news most of the times? And then what about all the other pictures which come together with that of filth? So there are so many things, zina of the eyes, zina of the ears, zina of the tongue, zina of the hands, zina of the feet, and then the actual action of zina. So which one of us today we can say that we are so pious and so holy that we stay away from all these types of zina? So we have to make that effort. But Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam attributed this killings and murders and large scale deaths, one of it, to zina. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala says, Alam yajidka yateeman fa'awa. Did we not find you, or did he not find you an orphan child? So he gave you this shelter. So this is what I was explaining, that in these days when there's so much of murders and killings and wars taking place, so at that time the children of even rich people can be yateen. It's not necessary that only those few children who are in some orphanage in some part of the world, they are yateen. There are hundreds of thousands of yateems in the world. There are so many of them who are in refugee camps. There are so many of them who are in homes, and there are so many who are in our homes, and the homes of family members, because the father passed away while the child was still a minor, so that child is a yateem. And yet the father could have been a very rich person. So those people who are handling the properties and the estate of these yateem children, they have to be very much cautious and on guard. They must not do anything which will cause harm to those yateem children that are under their care. They must not think that just because that child has got no more a father to lean on, so Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala is not watching what we are doing with their wealth and with their properties. And this I am not saying theoretical, because alhamdulillah, working amongst the society for so many years, I know what is happening. It's a finger on the pulse. We get complaints of what nature. I mentioned the other night also in the majlis that so many people are having dreams without exaggeration. I'm not exaggerating. I don't believe in exaggeration. Only when something is on a large scale, then I mention it. That without exaggeration, so many women and men are dreaming. My father is suffering in the grave. My mother is burning in the fire of Jahannam. My father is tied up, or my uncle is tied up on a tree and is being beaten up. All these kind of dreams, frightening dreams, weird dreams. It doesn't necessarily mean that every time that a person has a weird dream, then the meaning is also bad. Sometimes the meaning is extremely good. Therefore, dreams are not something that you just go and keep relating to everybody. Most of the time, our dreams are what we are occupied in throughout the day, and that is what we dream. They don't have any interpretation at all. So those who have got a habit of asking every dream interpretation, then they are mistaken. Because if the barber dreams that he's giving haircut to somebody, now what interpretation do you require for that? Or if a butcher dreams that he's cutting meat and chopping bones, you don't require interpretation for that. Hazrat Ibn Asirin Rahmatullah Ali was the greatest interpreter of dreams. One person dreamt, a pious person, that he is urinating on the Quran Sharif. Now what a frightening dream. But he was a pious person, so he got a shock of his life that what a dream this is. When he asked for the interpretation, he asked, "Is your wife pregnant and expecting a child?" He said, "Yes." He said, "The child that's going to be born will be a son, and that son will grow up to be a hafiz of the Quran Sharif." Now look at the dream and look at the interpretation. There are many such kind of dreams and interpretations. So it is a field on its own, and it's not necessary that if some alim is not an expert in that field, then he's not an alim. In fact, we waste too much of time over interpretation of dreams, whereas what we should really worry about is our condition. If a person sees Jannat every night in his dream, but all his actions are those of Jahannamis, then he must be concerned. He must not get very happy that I saw Jannat every night in my dream, I saw paradise in my dream. If he saw paradise every night, but his actions are those that lead to hellfire, then he must take stock of his life and he must change his condition. It is a warning. Dreams have got a lot of opposite meanings too. And nevertheless, what I was mentioning was that this type of dreams, which were shocking because it was not of the normal kind and they were not in the habit of dreaming such things. So the first question that I posed to them, has the estate of that person been distributed Islamically? Believe me or not, 70 to 80% of the time they will say that no. Somebody took away this, or somebody took away that, or somebody is sitting with this property, or somebody is sitting with the gold and silver, or somebody is sitting with some assets that were transferred to another country. But most of the times the distribution hasn't taken place. And considerable number of times the will was not right. The father himself had made a will which was un-Islamic. He had bequeathed everything to his only beloved blue-eyed son. Or the mother had said that after my death you take away all the jewelry and cash that I have. Not knowing that only those are entitled to a bequest who are not going to be inheriting from the estate Islamically. For those whom the Quran Sharif has fixed a share, those who are heirs, the husband, the wife, the daughter, the son, the mother, the father, their shares are fixed. So you cannot make further bequests for them. Voluntarily, willingly, if somebody gives the whole property that he owns to somebody in his lifetime, that is a different issue. But that too must not be done to deprive some rightful heirs. But here what we are saying is that because of these reasons, the person who has passed away, now he is suffering. He is suffering, and in the meantime the children are enjoying the wealth, or the wife is enjoying the property, or the husband is enjoying the property, or the orphans, their wealth and property is being devoured. Why? Because of that will which was made incorrectly. So there are so many issues. So therefore when we read these ayats of the Quran Sharif, or when we listen, then we must not just come to one conclusion, Alam yajidka yateeman fa'awa. So now we must be good to the orphans, means that now we must always look for some orphanage and be good to some 2-3 orphans. No. Yes, they too have got a right. But at present the greatest problem is this, which we are facing, is that those who are becoming orphans because of accidents in which the father died and the children are minors, or because of shootings or other kind of sicknesses and diseases which take away people at very young ages. Now what is happening is those children are left orphans. Now their property is going into wrong ways and people are devouring it. So they are putting fire into their bellies. So therefore Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, he's being told that why should Allah ta'ala become displeased with you? If he was displeased with you, he would not have put your love into the heart of your grandfather. When your father passed away, and Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's father was only 24, 23 years of age when he passed away. So he said, who put this love into the heart of your grandfather? There are so many grandfathers who are not prepared to take care of the grandchildren today. So it is Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala that put that love. And especially in the society of Makkah Sharif, when people were unconcerned about orphans and widows and the poor and the needy, at that time Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is being told that Allah ta'ala put this love into the heart of your grandfather and he took care of you. We gave you shelter, we gave you accommodation, we put that love into their heart. And as he grew up, then Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is told that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala found you wanting. He gave you knowledge. Allah Ta'ala gave you that knowledge which was required for Nubuwwat, to lead mankind, to connect mankind to Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. You did not know what the Akhirat was. You did not know what Jannat and Jahannam was. You did not know all the laws of Sharia. It is Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala who gave you that knowledge. Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, He sent Wahi, He revealed the Quran Sharif. So Nabi alayhi salatu wa salam is told that this again is a great favor of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. And you did nothing that would have displeased Him. So why should you be concerned? Now this is a consolation that if a person is going through some test or some trial in his life, there are days or nights of depression and worry and grief and sorrow, then he must not think that there's going to be only darkness in my life now and there's no such thing as light at the end of the tunnel. There is no such thing as losing hope in the mercy and the qudrat of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. His mercy is unlimited. His forgiveness is unlimited. But there is great wisdom in every decision of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. We cannot see. We cannot see beyond our nose. We cannot see behind our backs what is happening. Where can we see into the future? If anybody says that they can see into the future and all those people who are going to these fortune tellers, then the first thing you must ask that fortune teller that how long you are going to live. Look into that crystal ball and tell me how long you are going to live. Or look into your own hand and tell me how long you are going to live. And if that person will look into it and say 10 years, 5 years, 20 years, then take a gun and shoot his head. And ask him, now you are safe. If you can talk to the dead, then ask him that you were supposed to live for so many years, why did you go? So they don't know their own future, where are they going to tell you about your future? Many, many of our people are caught up in all the stars foretell. What can they foretell? There are signs in everything, we don't deny. But nobody knows what is our future. Only Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala knows what is our future. We just don't know what's going to happen the next second. I remember during the days that we were in India, today they have watermelon, huge watermelon. Sometimes you require 2-3 people to carry that watermelon. That huge you have. So the students, they used to buy those watermelons and then share and eat. So in one family, the person bought that huge watermelon and he called his friends and he invited us to. And he said that now we are going to have this watermelon. So the slices were made. He took one slice, brought it to his mouth and just collapsed. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un, we had to read. And that was the end of the verse. Second later, we just don't know what's going to happen. So Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala is assuring Nabi alayhi salatu wa salam that we found you, He found you an orphan child, He gave you shelter. He found you in wanting in knowledge, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala gave you that knowledge. And He found you poor, needy, deserving. Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala gave you independence. Allah Ta'ala gave him so much. It was Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam that because of his generosity, he did not keep anything for himself. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, his tawakkul and his trust in Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala was so much that he did not keep anything for himself. Even one coin when he had in his home, he was just about to start the salah, he went back, he distributed that coin and then he came back. Now that was for himself which he chose, a life that he chose for himself. But for us, he left the Sharia, the beautiful teachings of Sharia, in which there is zakat, there is sadaqah, and there are so many other charities that a person can give. And he can keep for himself too, and he is also told that you must not leave your children begging, extending their hands after your death. So if you leave some property for them, there is nothing wrong with that. In fact, it's recommended if the person can afford it. As long as that property has come in a halal way. If we had been all told that we must keep nothing, then the maslas of zakat would not have been in the Quran Sharif. The law of zakat would not have been there. The detailed masail of zakat should not have been in the hadiths of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. That shows that that was the life that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam chose for himself. But for his ummah at large, he gave them the beautiful Sharia, which accommodates the rich, the poor and everybody. The king and the ruler and the beggar. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, in Hajjatul Wida, the last pilgrimage, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam slaughtered 100 camels. When we go there, we argue over the price of one camel or one share. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, 100 camel qurbani he is making. 63 of that he slaughtered with his own hands. Now can a poor person afford 100 camels? Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, when he got married to Hazrat Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha, or long before that, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam started business. He took the merchandise of Hazrat Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha and he went to Syria. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala gave him great profit in that. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam distributed everything. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam marries Hazrat Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha. She takes all her wealth and gives it to Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam for the propagation of his deen. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was again very rich. Then Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu was very rich. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says that no person's wealth gave me as much benefit as the wealth of Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And say only Allah ta'ala can reward him for that in the akhirat. All others I have paid them for whatever they have done for me. But Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu's wealth, how much it must have been which Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam used, for which he is saying this. And it was one of the sayings of Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu himself, that of the three things that please me most, one of it is to spend my wealth on you, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was again very rich because of that wealth Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu gave him. But he did not keep it for himself. When it came with this hand, he accepted and he distributed it, or he used it again in the service of the deen of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, in the invitation towards this Mubarak deen and towards the Quran and towards the Sunnah, and for jihad and for other purposes and for the poor and the needy. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam gave it. So it is not that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was poor. This is a wrong belief that we have, or understanding, that because he was very poor, so therefore he had to be like that, therefore he had to live like that. It's not that. He chose that for himself. He was the greatest of all messengers. He had greatest tawakkul and yaqeen in Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. And although he was offered mountains of gold, but he said, I would love that I eat and make shukr of Allah ta'ala, and one day I starve and I make sabr. So now that was Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's life. But Allah ta'ala gave him plentiful, so therefore Allah ta'ala says that he found you poor, but then he made you independent. So from this we concluded, I was trying to go on to the last three ayat. Inshallah, if Allah ta'ala gives life and health, we'll continue. But here, this is what we learn. That first of all, that these are the three basic rights of all children. Any child, this is his right. Shariat has given him this right. Allah ta'ala has given him this right. That they require accommodation, they require shelter, they require care. That is the right of the child. Then it is the right of the child that he must be given Islamic knowledge. He must be given that knowledge which connects him with Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. All the others are arts and sciences. You can become the best doctor, the best philosopher, the best scientist. And we need scientists too. We need all doctors and physicians, and we need all of that. But what we term as knowledge which connects with Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, that is priority. So that should be given. And then the third thing is, where the person is given the knowledge of skills, he's got other skills, or he becomes a doctor, or he is made to become a scientist, whatever he becomes, he becomes a pilot or an engineer. So now that is so that he may be able to earn halal livelihood, and he does not have to extend his hands and beg. So that education comes in there. So these are the rights, and we can go on explaining this, it'll take hours. But in conclusion, what I wish to say is this, that Shariat is beautiful. From whichever angle you look at it, there's nothing but beauty in it. It has taken care of all our needs. Right up till the day of Qiyamah, whatever conditions will arise, we will find a solution in Deen and Sharia. But how will we get to know that Sharia? We have to study. We have to learn. We have to go to those programs where we'll be teaching of Deen and Sharia. Basic knowledge, we know that it is lacking these days. Basic Islamic knowledge. So all this effort that is being made by the different groups and different jamaats and different organizations, they all are basically for the same reason. So even in our town and city, there is an ijtima that is taking place. So that is also an excellent work, where the objective is the same, to get people out of their bad environments, get them connected with the masjid and with Allah Ta'ala. But it doesn't stop there. After that we have to go ahead and proceed and learn the masail, the fazail, everything has to be learned. The whole of deen has to come in our lives. I mentioned the other night also, and sometimes it is misunderstood, but that is the truth what I am saying. That sometimes in our quest, sometimes in our eagerness, then we forget the Sharia. We want to get close to Allah Ta'ala, but we forget the Sharia. The person is owing plenty of money, and he goes and gives PDCs to a person, and I'm not talking stories, I'm telling you what is happening. The person gives PDCs to a person, and when it is falling due, when the person phones that this money is now due, he says, my father is gone for Hajj, he's gone for Umrah, he's gone for some dini activity. He says, but you are managing the business. He says, yeah, that's my father, I am different. But yet they are the same. Now that kind of work Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala doesn't like. So make arrangements. And I'm not saying that this is specific to any group. As I mentioned, that we should not only look at those with kurta and topi and beards who take some people for a ride and say that people with kurta, topi, beard are taking people for a ride. What about all the suited, booted people that are taking people for a ride? But what we say is that when a person claims piety by his outward appearance, then he must be more careful that he is fulfilling the rights and obligations which are upon his shoulders. Make sure that we make arrangements, make the payment or make proper arrangement and then go, nobody stops. But the person is going Umrah upon Umrah, Hajj upon Hajj, and is going Tabligh upon Tabligh, or Khanqa upon Khanqa, going to the Mashayikh and the Buzrugs. In the meantime, the person is owing so much of money. So now that kind of Tabligh and that kind of Khanqa and that kind of Mashayikh going, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala is not pleased with. May Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala give us all the tawfiq. But again, don't look at individuals and put it onto a group. The individual is the individual. If he is committing crime, he is committing sin, he is doing bad actions, then blame him. Don't blame the whole group and the whole jamaat and the whole khanqa. May Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala give us all the tawfiq of amal wa akhiru da'wana.